Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day. We are, if you've been here, we had just finished last week a five-week series about acceptable or respectable sins, and we got to corporately repent last week, and it was wonderful. And today, being Father's Day, before I start this message, I want to kind of give a brief disclaimer or caveat, if you will. We're going to share some good news in a moment. If we hear today's message, and there's grace, truth, and there's the middle of the spectrum. We'll get to that. If you're here today and you are just maybe not made a decision yet to follow Jesus, to ask him to forgive you of your sins and to make you right with God, to accept his grace and gift of eternal life, or maybe you haven't, or you have, but you have are living willfully in sin or in a relationship or situation that you know is wrong. You're ignoring God's word, rationalizing whatever. If you have not yet chosen to know him, or you are willfully living in disobedience to him, I don't believe that you know him, and that is eternally dangerous. But the good news is, before you leave today, right now, you can come to Christ. You can give him your heart and life. If you have fallen into sin, you can repent and turn from that sin. And we're going to talk about God's love today. We're talking about his grace, and there's grace and truth. In a moment, we'll talk about if you're kind of a truth person, you may not love today, but today is a Father's Day message that I think is wonderful. It's really not about fathers, but if you're here today and you're a father, men, before we start, lead your wives, lead your children, lead your families. The world needs more, better, engaged, God-fearing, God-modeling, loving fathers. If you're a father here today, let me tell you, I had two girls and, you know, love them, etc. But until I had a son especially, I didn't realize how much my life mattered, because that little boy copies and emulates me like crazy. It's scary. I find him saying and modeling, and it's like, man, he's a little mini-me. And so let me tell you, man, especially if you have children, your life ain't yours. And if you're a follower of Jesus, your life is his anyway, and as you follow him, you'll be a good father. But today is Father's Day. It's a day in America and in the world in which we honor fathers. But you know, some of you here today aren't fathers. Some of you are. Some of you maybe had wonderful earthly fathers, and some of you maybe didn't know yours or don't. Some of them maybe were bad or abusive, and there's just stuff all over the spectrum. A lot of you here today are women, so you've never been a father. So therefore, we won't be having a Father's Day message today, but we are going to be discussing how, as believers, every day of our life should be Father's Day, a day in which our lives bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. And we're going to talk about him today. We're going to talk about how Jesus said that we shouldn't identify too much with our earthly families and relationships. He said that it should almost look like we hate and are willing to leave mother, brother, father, sister, etc., because we love Jesus so much. Now, when we are in love with him and in right relationship with God, that will make us good husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, etc., but our focus and our identity should be with him. We should shine, represent him. I'm blessed with a good earthly father, had wonderful grandfathers, but when I think Father's Day, when I hear the word father, I think of my Heavenly Father. I think of God. I think of him who made me and loves me and saved me and gives me grace. Today we're going to have a Bible study. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew 6 and Hebrews 8 in just one moment. The Apostle Paul said, "I wish godly men would be everywhere lifting holy hands up to him in prayer without anger and controversy." I wish. And what would the world look like if more men were in love with Jesus? If more men weren't angry? If more men and we weren't looking for reasons to divide, but reasons to focus on Jesus? If we realize this isn't for men, if you're here today, your life has a huge impact. Do you know what impact one life can have? What can one person who's just completely surrendered to and in love with Jesus as their Lord and Savior, what kind of impact can we have? What kind of impact are you having? If you're here today and you're a believer, your life should be having an impact. The way you serve and love and are kind and forgive and how you live should be having an impact. You should be conscious, aware of bringing God glory with your life. Think about fathers. Good, godly fathers. My father was a very good man. My grandfather was one of those people that made a difference in countless lives, including mine, because he decided at a young age to follow Jesus. Maybe you're here today and Father's Day is tough because you didn't have a good dad or don't know your father. Maybe you've fallen short as a father. It's not too late to change that. But the Bible says that God is the father to the fatherless. And I think that's relevant for all of us, that as Christians, as believers, that he is our father. And I want to talk about him today. Because guys, how we see God, how you see God, has an incredible impact on your life. If you see and begin to today, because I don't believe most Christians see God the right way. I really don't. I'm not sure we do. And that we kind of drift away from that. If we will begin and remind ourselves and remember to see Him for who He is and for how much He loves you, it will impact every relationship and every area of your life. So we're going to start today with a very famous passage, which is Jesus teaching us how to pray. What does it have to do with God or Father's Day? It has a lot to do with it. Let's go forward, please. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray and be seen. I'll paraphrase, obviously. He says, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go somewhere, get quiet, and be serious about your prayer lives. Guys, our prayer lives are serious. They will make us or break us. They'll make or break the church. They will. The seriousness and the quality of our prayer lives. Let's go forward, please. He says, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans. When you think pagans, we'll discuss that more in a moment. We're not talking heathens here. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Now, can we all just pray this together? Let's go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now just think about that. He's like saying here, because guys, our prayer lives are very serious. And I need you to step back for a moment and say, what's my prayer life look like? And it's okay to ask. God wants that. But is it constantly bless me with this, protect me from this, I'm asking for this, help me with this, get me out of this, physical healing, all great things to pray for. But let me tell you, when all we are in love with the Lord and our hearts are right, we're going to be praying, God, use me, let your Holy Spirit lead me, use me in people's lives, use me for your kingdom, use me for your church, get glory in my life. Thank you. They're going to be prayers of thanks. The Bible says to pray with thanksgiving and praise. You're going to be thanking God for the very life you have, for your eternal life, for His grace. And Jesus is saying, our prayer should be this, Father, hallowed be your name. I want your will to be done. Meet my needs. Forgive me. Help me to forgive others. And help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. There's a paraphrase of the Lord's prayer right there. And what I see in our world, it's so sad. So many people and families and fathers and mothers have no idea of what God's design is. I think in our community, which I love and is home, we don't have a good idea of what God's design for family is. Look around. What things He wants for us, what riches and abundance and goodness and quality of life and of love and family and relationships He wants us to have if we would only awaken to Him and to His Word and His love and His plans. And it's a tragedy, as I see in our society, marriage perverted and devalued, and more and more and more and more kids born out of wedlock, and divorce rates through the roof, and technology and busyness keeping us away from God. The stripping away of the foundations of family. Listen to this. There's an epidemic of brokenness in our society. And I want to challenge you as a Christian today about your prayer life, the quality of it. In addition to that, what about fasting? And I'm not telling you to not eat for 40 days, okay? That's one way to fast, is from food. But listen to me, if you're not in love with God and you don't view Him as your Father, and life has just taken you away from Him, I would encourage you not only to pray, but to fast. Listen to this. Fast from the TV. Fast from your devices. Fast from Facebook. Fast from Candy Crush. Fast from sports. No, this is serious. To stay, there you go, fast from fast food. To stay in love with Him. Because if you come into church, you hear the message, your daily life, I don't feel close to God. And at one time I was on fire, now I'm loose. Guys, God's always seeking and pursuing us. And part of the reason we get that way is because we lose sight of who He is and how much He loves us and what incredible, amazing grace He has for us. I would challenge you, I would plead with you, to fast from some stuff. If you're like, I don't feel close to the Lord, I know I've got this sin in my life, this is serious business. And what's happening in our societies, our relationships are becoming based on the values and systems of this world. They're becoming based on the value systems of this world instead of God's way. And this world says everything is a contract. That everything is a contract, and I will do for you if you do for me. And I'm only going to do for you if you do for me. And what's in it for me? And if I'm happy in this relationship, I'll stay. And if I'm not, I'll leave. And I don't care if we're married. If I meet someone else that makes me happier, then bye. Better to receive than give. But God's viewpoint, guys, is completely different. His model is based on covenant. He loves you so much, no matter what. Well, he loves people that reject Jesus and live awful lives. He still loves them, and it breaks his heart that they reject his free gift of grace and salvation. It breaks his heart. The world is contract, and it says, as soon as you stop meeting my needs, making me happy, I'm going to move on. I'm going to find something better. And that's a tragedy, but guys, here's the real tragedy. That view of life and of stuff creeps into, and I promise you, has crept into how we see God. We begin to think that must be how God is. If I'm good enough, he loves me. If I don't blow it this week, he loves me more. He's happier with me. Thank God that he doesn't see us that way. His covenant with us is based on covenant and love because of Jesus and his blood. I want to tell you something here today. That your sin and my sin was either nailed to that cross and the sin of all mankind was taken and taken care of on the cross on Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago, or it wasn't. And amen, it was. And we lose sight of that so easy. Because we love the Lord, we want to please him, and we get so caught up in the do's and the don'ts and the good days and bad days, etc. But guys, we're covenantly joined. I want to ask you a question today. Is your relationship with God business, or more like you're his own son or daughter? It's business. Okay, I've been saved and baptized. I got to do church, and I'm going to go to heaven someday. Don't want to go to hell. That's really not the relationship he wants, even though those are all true. He wants you to love him. He wants you to be in love with him. He wants you to seek him. He wants to be all that you need because he is. Do you guys understand that? You're a co-heir with Jesus. Jesus took your place. He made you like God's son or daughter. And without Jesus and what he did, you and I are done. Because our righteousness is nothing. We have sin. And there was no way to God, and there is no way to God except Jesus taking our place. And it's so easy to lose sight of that and to not be in love with him. It's so easy to lose sight of that and look at and focus on others instead of ourselves. And I think we can tell a lot about the Lord's Prayer. We can tell a lot about our lives from how we pray it and how we pray. God, hallowed be your name. Just meet my needs. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you. When things go wrong, thank him. He's got a purpose and a plan. The world's fallen. Thank him and be thankful no matter what. And Lord, help me to forgive people because you forgive me and they don't deserve it. Neither did I. So help me to forgive. For yours is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Lead me not into temptation. Guys, Jesus has set us free, but we're not supposed to use that freedom as an excuse to live however we want. We're supposed to be thankful for it and be in love with God. He says in there, to not be babbling like pagans. See, pagans back then, they were people, they had some religion in their life, but they just babbled. Their prayers were just words. The actual translation means that they were praying empty and anxious prayers. Anxious prayers. God, help me here and do this here and help me with that person. Here's what I want. And lots of word, empty prayers. Guys, I want you to right now think about what your prayer life is. This is very, very serious. Possibly even your eternity and those of others, how you represent Christ in the world is affected greatly by your prayer life. Now here's where we're at in America, which is so sad. The number of people that claim to pray every day is exponentially higher than the number of people that attend church regularly, that believe that the Bible is infallible, that read the Bible at home, that pray with their spouses or kids, that believe holiness is important, that believe Jesus is coming again, that believe he's the only way to God. So we have a number of people that pray here and a number of people that really know Jesus down here. That's sad. But it's also a shot for us as Christians of how important the quality of our prayer life is. What do your prayers sound like? Especially, guys, when things aren't going your way, what do your prayers sound like? Do you expect from God or do you trust God? Because let me tell you, he is your father. He's the perfect father, and you can trust him. And his relationship with you, his love for you, is a covenant relationship. It is not based on how you do, because none of us ever do good enough. And Jesus, think about Jesus starting the prayer, our Father. He didn't say, our Master, our King, although He is, because guys, we can never approach God. We could never pray if it weren't for Jesus. We could never approach Him. So why do we call ourselves Christians and believers, yet we don't live free? Let me tell you guys something. You ever met the miserable, unhappy, negative, judgmental Christian? Everybody has bad days. I don't think you can be all those things and that you know Jesus. I don't think that can happen. And I think that we get that way because so often we're not living in proper relationship with our Father. We forget who He is. It's kind of like, here's what I think a lot of us Christians do. Now, hold on. Remember I talked about grace and truth? And here's what I think people do, and here's what I think even the church does, not just the church all over the world. There's just one church, one body of believers, those who are following Jesus. There's grace here, and there's truth here. And you have people, and sometimes even churches, that it's just grace. It is John 3:16, Romans 8:28, 1 John 1:9. And man, you live however you want because we're under grace. We're set free. We're under the new covenant. And just whatever, if you sin, we're under grace. You guys know that's kind of true. Now, hold on, truth people. Bear with me. Grace here and truth here. And then there's truth. There's you become a Christian. You don't do anything wrong again. The Bible's black and white. You follow it to the T, and that's the deal. And we should follow it to the T. It's here for our own good. It's all true. It's all because He loves us. But there's grace and truth, and what happens is we get too far towards grace, and we correct back towards truth. And we get too far into being, maybe we call it legalistic, and we got to get back towards grace. When the real reality is, I guess it would be something in the middle. And what so often I think Christians do, we try to live under both covenants. You guys, you know, there's the old covenant. There's the Old Testament law. There were 600-700 rules. You had to follow them all, and people kept messing up, so they kept sacrificing lambs and burning stuff, and it was all that kind of stuff. And that wasn't working because we can't do it. So Jesus came, and now we're under the new covenant of His blood, which is grace, amazing grace. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it via love. Via love. And so what happens is, I think so often, and this is what happens when we're not fruitful and we become unhappy and we forget how much God loves us and who He is, we're trying to live under both covenants. Our walk with Jesus, our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father becomes all the areas we focus on, how we fall short, what we got to do better and do differently and start and stop and all that stuff. And I don't think that works. Hebrews 8, 7 and 9 says, if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. If there had been nothing wrong with just trying to follow all the rules and to-do list and be good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to have came. But God found fault with that. And people are saying, the days are coming, declares the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. That's you and I, His people. Verse 9, it won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them out of Egypt, because they didn't remain faithful. And I turned away from them, declares the Lord. He's talking Moses and the Ten Commandments here. Guys, God's not looking down and waiting for you to break a commandment. God's not looking down saying, I expect you to be perfect. Now hold on, truth people. He's saying it's okay to sin. It's not okay to sin. God's not looking down waiting for you to blow it. He's not looking down keeping score waiting to judge you. Jesus has set you free from sin and also given you the ability to overcome sin. But guys, the sin was either paid for on the cross or it wasn't. The sin's over with. You're under grace, even if you sin. Now again, hold on, caveat. Holiness matters. I'm not saying it doesn't matter how we live our lives, because when we're in relationship with Jesus and when we love God, we'll want to live to please Him, won't we? So we're not going to be out living in sin. We're not going to be out doing whatever we want. But what did Paul say, talking about the covenant, the Ten Commandments, which are all true and good and valid? But he's saying, guys, a relationship and a religion and a faith based on that and on rules written on stone will bring you down, make you miserable, and lead to death. That's what Paul said. Why don't we live in freedom, Christians? Why don't we live in freedom? Oh, my goodness. If the old covenant was good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to have came. There's a better way, and I have three quick phrases today to highlight that there's a better way. New covenant versus old. God loves you. Jesus paid for your sin. He set you free. You're free. But let me tell you, if you know him and are in right relationship with him, you won't use that freedom as an excuse to satisfy your flesh, live in sin, do whatever you want. It'll make you love a God who says, I've set you free. There's nothing you can do to not make me love you. There's nothing you can do to make me disappointed. You're my one and only son or daughter. I love you, and I sent my son Jesus to die, to forgive you and set you free. And your heart will say, hallelujah, praise God, I'm free. And if you really do that, then you'll say, and also want to please him with my life. I want to glorify him with my life. He's given you a blank check. But you won't take advantage of that if you love him. Here's the better way to live. Three quick phrases. Number one, the old covenant is external. The new covenant is personal. There it is. It's all about our hearts and them being surrendered to him. It's like in marriage. If the love goes, you're in trouble. And a lot of marriages are just going through the motions. Now, let me make a point here. It's better to go through the motions than to break the covenant and get divorced. I mean, you know, the Bible says and Jesus said there are exceptions, and we're not getting into that today. But it's like a loveless marriage. Going through the motions. God doesn't want a loveless relationship with you. He doesn't want you just going through the motions. He wants you to be in love with him because of how much he loves you. He wants you to rekindle that love because he loves you so much. Hebrews 8:10 says, the new covenant he has made with you and I says he's put his laws in our minds and on our hearts. And he's our God and we're his people. We now can pray. We can talk to him anytime we want. We have forgiveness of our sins. We are in a relationship with him. It's a personal relationship. And if it's not, you need to make it that. You need to seek him. If you feel numb or lukewarm, you need to pray fast. Get on your knees. Repent. Because you need to be in that relationship. And here's the grace and the truth paradox explained, okay? I think, well, you know, so we can sin all we want? No, there's the Bible. We need to follow it. Here's the grace paradox, truth paradox, okay? He doesn't make you do right things. He makes you right so that you want to do right things and glorify him with your life because his son set you free. Read it again. This is why we take notes. I need this phrase like 3 days a week, seriously. He doesn't make you do right things. He makes you right so that you want to do right things and glorify him with your life. The life that he gave you, the life you can't save unless you lose it for him. A personal relationship. You should be praying every day for his Holy Spirit to lead your life and take over your heart. And if you sin, there's a conviction. That's a good thing. It's not a good thing to sin, ever. But if you do and you feel bad, you feel convicted, you repent. I'm sorry. You turn from that sin. That's a healthy thing. If you're here today and you're living in sin and you know you're consistently just, I know the Bible says this, whatever. That's when you should be scared. When you've hardened your heart, when you're numb, when you just don't care what the Word says, when you don't really care about living by it. That's a time to be afraid. Now, he still can forgive you. You need to get on your knees and repent. It's a personal relationship. That's the good news. You have a Father who loves you so much, he sent Jesus to set you free. It's a personal relationship. Number two, the old covenant has a master. The old covenant has a master. The new covenant has a Father. You have a Father. You have a God. The God of the universe, all creation, who loves you as his child. Church and worship should be a joy. I love it when we raise our hands. I love it when we clap. I love it when you're here. You're worshiping your loving Heavenly Father. You're worshiping your God who knows everything about you. He knows your heart, your bad attitudes, your sin, where you do wrong, what you think, all these things, and he loves you anyway. He's a Father. It's mind-blowing. And if you're not living and you don't have this relationship with him today, why would you not want that? A God who says you will go to heaven or hell for all of eternity. You can't do anything about your sin. So I'll send Jesus who will die for you, who will freely forgive you, who will give you eternal life versus death. And I will give you a way to live a great, abundant, full life while you're here simply because I love you and you can't do anything to earn it. If you're not in that relationship today, why not? And if you are, I'm a believer, I've been saved and baptized, but I'm not living this. I'm trying to be good enough and I can't. I'm not experiencing joy or freedom. You can change that today as well. God chose you. It's like an adoption. God chose you. John 1:12 says, To all who believe in Him and accepted Him, He has given the right to become His child. He just chose us. How thankful we should be. Read Galatians 4 sometime about that. He chose us. Your view of God will determine your relationship with Him. And the problem is we so often have a wrong view of God. We view God as too small. We view God as judgmental. We view God as angry with us. We view God as unfair. And none of those things could be further from the truth. He is love. He loves you. He's made a way. He wants you to be free. He wants to be your Father. And our third and final point, our third and final thing to realize is the old covenant has guilt. The new covenant has grace. There's just grace, undeserved, free, amazing. We have guilt and shame. We feel distant from Him because of how we act and what we might do or say or think. And the truth is, if we realize this is less important, now hold on, especially truth people, we'd stay in love and walking with Jesus better. If I just stopped focusing on all this other stuff and I focused on staying in love and staying connected and plugged into the Lord and to His Word, I think our women's Bible study, the study that is starting, is about your daily devotion time and time in God's Word. You can't fathom how important that is. If you're sitting here right now and you're like, I'm half asleep and get to lunch, I guarantee you, you don't have a good devotion life. Be mad at me if you want. When I don't find time to be in His Word, I find time to mess up. I find time to have a bad attitude. I find time to be selfish. I find time for all these things. But man, when I'm praying wholeheartedly to Him and I'm in His Word and just, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life, life is good. I'm saying every circumstance is perfect, but I'm saying life is good. If we'd stay less focused on all the other stuff and more focused, as the Bible says, to keep your eyes on Jesus, our walks, our lives would be better. If we focus more on Him than how we act will be pleasing to Him. What we do and say and think and feel will be pleasing to Him when we stop worrying about all that and focus on being in love with Him. I want to live for a God like that. I don't know about you. Dan, we're going to close in just a moment, take communion. I'm so thankful that He's my Father. Is He yours? Maybe you've never taken that step. You've never said, I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want God to be my Father. I want to know this kind of love relationship, this feeling. I hear people talk about it. I hear the pastor preach it. I don't know what it's like. In just one moment, we're going to have a chance. You can come pray at the altar. We're actually going to respond today with communion, because probably for most of us here, you've taken that step, but you might not be living in that freedom, in that relationship, in that joy of knowing how God is your Father and how much He loves you. You've taken it for granted because you've been in that relationship a long time, and it's human nature to take stuff for granted. We get set free and then we want to go back to Egypt. We complain. It's our human nature to take stuff for granted. I think that some of us today need to step back and remember who God is, how He looks at us, and how much He loves us. We take communion to remember. If you need to respond today, would you stand in just one moment? We're going to pray together. If you would all stand, please. Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray in just one second. You can come see one of the pastors after church. You can pray at the altar. Or you can use communion to respond today, to say yes to Jesus' sacrifice of His body and blood for you. Everyone is welcome to take communion today. If you have never said yes to Jesus, or for some reason you need to set it out, that's fine. But if our ushers could come forward, we're going to pass the elements out in just one moment.